Welcome to worship, everyone. We've had another busy week in the shop and the cafe as the Easter holiday continues. Lots of sunshine, but still a bit cold in the wind. We have welcomed yet more of our regular summer visitors returning and some more new people. Word must be getting around how good our toasties are. On Friday, we had a visit from Chris and Mo Young and the Reverend Don Mensch from the Nazarene Church in King's Lynn. It was great to see them and have a good chat. Brought back lots of good memories. Our thanks again to Eleanor and Stuart for assisting in the shop. This coming week we have two birthdays to celebrate, Stuart Darby and Stuart Whitehead, so there will be lots of cake. Well, our service will commence now, so come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. Let's sing, Come, People of the Risen King.
Let's invite you to stand with us.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, peace to you and grace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Paul's letter to the Philippians, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We come to worship the risen Lord, bringing peace into our fears. Let us pray. Come, living Jesus, bringing hope into despair, bringing love into our world of hatred, dissension and prejudice, but most of all, bringing healing of body, mind and spirit. Come, living Jesus, enter our minds and our souls, that we may see you clearly as our living hope. Amen. Alleluia. Praise the Lord. My friends, let us rejoice and give thanks as we sing, Hail the Day That Sees Him Rise. Rejoice and be glad, for we are the people of God. Let us pray. Risen Lord, as we set aside time for you today, may we see you and hear you. May we feel you and touch you. May we know your presence with us now and always. Amen. Well, our theme, overall theme for this month is we have seen him. As we follow Jesus' journey to the cross, we have seen him revealed as the true Son of God as he raised Lazarus from death. We have seen his total humility as he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And we have seen him in his resurrection power as he overcame death on the cross and rose himself from death, leaving behind the empty tomb. Now today we join with the disciples in those first few days after the resurrection as they continue to see the risen Christ and were filled with awe and wonder. And once more, they were filled with hope, for in the risen Jesus was a living hope. After all that we've witnessed over the past few weeks, we too should want to know Jesus more and more and truly understand his resurrection power. Because when we do, we can have that living hope. Indeed, our theme for today is a living hope. For that's what the resurrection is to us today. The Apostle Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Well, like the disciples before us, and countless billions of people since, we have seen the risen Christ at work in our own lives. And as a consequence, we too want to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. For at the centre of all the things that happened on the first Easter was a living hope that can help us all meet the challenges and demands of everyday life. When you think of the resurrection, what comes to mind? For many, it's just an event that took place over 2,000 years ago. And still, many people doubt that it actually happened. But as we saw last week, there is historical and archaeological evidence that Jesus did indeed die on the cross and was resurrected, just as the Bible tells us. As Christians, we revisit the resurrection event every year in the build-up to and the celebration of Easter, sometimes in dramatic presentations. Great stuff, and at times very moving. There is a danger, however, that while we dip into the adventure of Easter, this can result in a shallow and superficial understanding of the significance of those world-changing events. I'm not going to go as far as did the preacher at St. Matthew's on Easter Day and condemn the adventure of Easter by throwing away the Easter eggs. I like them too much. Sadly, though, for the most part, resurrection is just a religious word and is seen by many as having little to do with everyday life, and so they miss the real point of Easter. I think this might also be said about many who claim to be Christians. Perhaps this is where the preacher at St. Matthew's was aiming. Yet when the Apostle Paul writes to the Philippians, he talks of the power of Jesus' resurrection. Paul describes the resurrection in the context of knowing that Christ has the power to change how we live every day. As we journey together towards Pentecost, I invite us all to share in discovering more about the resurrection and what it means for our daily lives right here and now. This journey together is not meant to be an intellectual pursuit, but a journey about discovering how God's resurrection power can be life-changing in every area of our lives. And I'm asking each of you to be open and allow God to show you how this resurrection power unlocks the key to living our lives with victory, meaning, purpose, fulfillment, and power. Allow God to show you how this resurrection power gives us all a living hope. We begin our journey today by continuing the Easter story as we look at another account of Jesus' resurrection appearances. And we echo the words of Paul as we say, "I want to know Christ and his resurrection power. For the head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now, A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's bow. Let's sing The Head That Once Was Crowned with Thorns. So let's come to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we know that you have blessed us, loved us, forgiven us, and chosen us. We all want to live in a way that pleases you. Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, for we want to know you. We want to know the power of your resurrection. We want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pouring out your power and love, giving us all a living hope. All today we will hear again the familiar account of how Thomas needed physical proof of your wounds before he would believe the other disciples' proclamation that you were alive. When, Lord, sometimes we are resistant like Thomas, although we long to be as brave as Peter. We know that there are times when we too perhaps react in the way in which Thomas did, when doubts creep in, and we cry out for proof. But Lord, then we remember, like Thomas, that although we haven't seen you physically, we have seen you in the words of Scripture, and we know we have seen you in our daily lives as you minister to us through the power of your Spirit, which you promised would live in us all the days of our life, helping us through this transitory life until at last we shall see you face to face. Because of that, Lord, we know that like Thomas, we are forgiven and set free, so that we are able to declare that you are our Lord and God. Breathe into our hearts the prophetic voice of the psalmist, the positive voice of the changed Thomas, and the spirit-filled voice of Peter, that others may know that you live, and that you live in us to save us, to forgive us, and to empower us. Almighty God, we give you thanks that you have welcomed us as your children, and we praise you for our inheritance, imperishable, undefiled and unfading. In your family, we are brothers and sisters, bound by faith and the knowledge and love of you. We thank and praise you, Lord, for the joy of learning and growing in you. Lord, you are indeed the King of love, You're the shepherd of your people. Your goodness never fails. And Lord, we lack nothing if we are yours, and you are ours forever. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's sing "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." As we pray this morning, we reach out to you with the needs of others. Fear and threats of harm, war, conflict and hate are all around your world at this time, and we are affected by the knock-on effect. We pray for the world leaders, leaders of the nations, especially those whose threats and retaliation are going too far, and who have grown to ignore the needs and lives of the very people they should be caring for. Lord, as Jesus came to bring peace, so we seek your peace to be found, for horror to be stopped, and for hope to grow. We pray for all those who can bring an end to war and conflict, but seem determined to cause yet more harm. Help those around them to offer wise and calming advice, pointing them to peace, that they may honour the needs of their people, and work tirelessly for the right ways to govern and lead through your perfect example of humility and love. Lord, through our faith, may we and all people be shielded by your power and your love, and bring to all these situations that living hope that only you can truly bring. Lord, we pray for all who are seeing their businesses or jobs destroyed by the current economic situation. We pray that they will receive the help and encouragement they need. And we pray for your church as we too struggle financially at this time. We pray for those who need peace of mind, those weighed down by the stresses and strains of everyday life, or who suffer with anxiety, or who are oppressed by worry and fear. For those who find it hard to let go of things and simply trust in you for new beginnings and for a living hope. We pray for all who've lost family and friends that they will take comfort from your promise of eternal life for all who believe. Lord, doubt and disbelief are all around us in our daily lives. We bring to mind everyone we know who has known your love but no longer trusts in you for their help. And all those who refuse to believe the great Easter story of death defeated and Christ alive, just as did your disciple Thomas. We pray that they seek to trust you more and believe in what seems unbelievable, and so may they have a living hope. Lord, we pray for all who are struggling to receive the treatment they need due to the strike by doctors and the strain that is rife throughout the NHS and emergency services. Lord, we pray for all who serve you and your people in whatever way. We pray for all who care for their loved ones. Lord, in a moment of quiet, remember those situations of people known to us by name, and we bring that to you now. Lord, strengthen all those whom we pray for when they are weak and low in spirit. Give to them a living hope. Hope to see beyond the pain to the glorious future that you have prepared for those who love you. And as you taught us, Lord, so we pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Lord, we know that Christ is alive, and has come to bring good news to this and every age. Till earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love and praise. Thank you for your love and the living hope you give us through knowing you. Amen. Let's sing Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing. So we pause once again to make our offering to the Lord. And I want to thank you again, all who contributed to our Easter offering. We finally made £500 thanks to a few last-minute donations. Thank you to all of you who are continuing with your tithing at this financially difficult time. Let us pray. Lord, you are more precious than silver. You are more costly than gold. You are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing we desire compares with you. So Lord, bless the offering of our lives and our resources that we make as we use the wonderful gift of your Holy Spirit to serve you and each other, as we care for your people and grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. So we're going to hear now from the Apostle John's account of two of Jesus' appearances to his disciples after his resurrection. John's account is very brief, even cryptic, but there's a wealth of meaning in his description of the events. He says that where the disciples were meeting, the door was locked for fear of the Jews. Imagine this situation. As you listen to this account, try and put yourselves in the situation that the disciples found themselves, locked in and frightened to go out, and wondering what was going to happen next and what the future holds. Maybe it's a bit like the situation we all found ourselves in during lockdown, too frightened to go out and wondering, what does the future hold? John recognises this tension, which in turn gives much greater emphasis to the words spoken by Jesus. Let's hear now from John's Gospel.
The reading is from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You know, the disciples behind locked doors must have been going over and over, hour by dreadful hour, the events of the preceding days. They would have been tearing themselves to pieces at their lack of support, especially when Jesus had asked for it in the garden in those agonizing hours before his arrest. And now, despite all that had happened, there was Jesus standing before them in his resurrected power. No anger, no recriminations, just love and peace, as he spoke those wonderful words, "Peace be with you." You know, ever since that day, Jesus has spoken those words billions of times to those who need to hear them. And since that day, we only have to close our eyes to know that Jesus is so near. We only have to look around and we see him everywhere. And of all the love that we have known, none has been so good. And of all the kindness we've been shown, the kindest of all was Jesus. We only have to answer yes when he calls us by our name. On the cross, Jesus forgave all the things that we've done. He took away our shame. So let's sing, "I Only Have to Close My Eyes." However I try and put across the wonder of the living hope that we have through our faith, I don't think anything I say can put it better than the way the Apostle Peter does in the opening verses of his first letter. So let's hear that wonderfully encouraging passage now.
The reading is from First Letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a new living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Peter was probably writing to people who were exiled from their homeland. We can see this from the opening line of his letter. He writes, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout. And then he lists several places. He uses the word strangers again in verse 17. And then in chapter 2, verse 11, he writes, my dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. But Peter is anxious for them to remember that they are experiencing a new beginning on their journey when they were converted to faith in Jesus Christ. Now they are part of a loving, joy-filled community that acts as a buffer between themselves and an often hostile world, where their faith is tested, probably by harassment from the authorities or other social groups suspicious of their faith. It seems nothing changes. Christians today still face harassment and suspicion. But Peter is telling them, and us today, that however precarious their place in the world, they are protected by God and the hidden yet secure salvation associated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were drawn into an unfolding story whose end could only fill them with hope, a living hope. What Peter was saying, in effect, know that your Redeemer lives. So let us declare that now too as we sing, I know that my Redeemer lives. Although Easter Day was a week ago, we are still celebrating Easter as we continue thinking about the joy and the promise that the resurrection brought into the world. But there is another side to the whole event. The Easter period gives us an opportunity to identify a little more closely with the doubts and fears felt by the first disciples, and with their experience of the resurrection depicted in this week's Gospel reading. Of course, they would have been devastated by the crucifixion, overwhelmed by guilt, terrified about what was going to happen to them. For the disciples, even immediately following Jesus' resurrection, contact with the people outside carried the risk of injury or even death by mob violence. Maybe it's not surprising that we forget the emotions of the disciples, because we go from the triumphant entry to Jerusalem, to the betrayal of the disciples, to the agony of the cross, then to the joy of the resurrection in just 1 week. They were justifiably feeling many different emotions. They were disappointed, depressed, devastated. They were locked in their homes for fear of the people outside. But that didn't stop the risen Jesus from coming among them. You know, we ourselves suffer similar emotions at times. And like those first disciples, especially Thomas, we may find it hard to believe that Jesus is with us. The marks of Jesus' wounds prove to Thomas that the Jesus who appeared to the disciples in their doubt and fear was the same Jesus who had been nailed to the cross. That same Jesus who was willing to die to show us the height and breadth and depth of God's love. That same Jesus willing to be with us in our times of doubt and fear. Jesus' suffering and death are not the end of the story, just as our suffering and even death is not the end of our story either. But think about this. Jesus steps into this situation and he says simply, "Peace be with you." Just like God in creation, Jesus speaks into the silence and darkness. Simple words, yet great things happen. They happened then, and they will happen now. Although the Apostle Paul wasn't among the disciples who had the great privilege of seeing Jesus before he ascended into heaven, he did have an experience of meeting the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. He too was overwhelmed by the resurrection power of Jesus. It totally changed his life, and through him, the lives of just so many other people. He put aside everything he was and had for the sake of Christ. All he wanted to know from that moment on was Jesus and the power of his resurrection. Paul writes to the church in Philippi, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead." Well, of course, Paul wasn't among those who Jesus appeared to in that locked room shortly after his resurrection. But he too experienced what they experienced. Not a meeting with a physical resurrected person, although that in itself would have been an awesome enough experience, but an encounter with the resurrected power of Jesus. Something that once experienced would stay with them for the rest of their days, something they would probably never truly understand in their lifetime. When Jesus entered that locked room, not as an apparition or ghost, but a physical body, the disciples would have been speechless with awe and wonder, and perhaps even a bit afraid. Well, perhaps more than a bit afraid, scared witless more like. Amid all this drama, Jesus simply said, "Peace be with you." Just as he would have done on so many other occasions. But this was just so different. And again, quite calmly, as if nothing extraordinary was happening, he said, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." In those few words, he passes on the responsibility for his ministry in one short but very direct sentence, leaving no room for any misunderstanding. Not only was he telling them what was expected of them, what their mission was, he was also giving them authority to carry out that mission. Their authority came directly from God. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. In that one sentence, he gave them a direct instruction and the authority by which they were to carry it out. Then, in an awesome display of his resurrected power, he enabled them for the task. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Wow, this was the breath of God and the very giving power of God, life-giving power. This is the power which God breathed into the very first human beings, the breath of life. This was the power in the foretaste of the first Christian Pentecost that was to kick-start the Christian church, the power that was to enable Christ's ministry to continue on earth, a ministry that would enable tens and tens of billions of people to know the forgiveness of God and save them for eternity. And all this took place in a small locked room with a bunch of ordinary people. Ordinary people full of sin and doubt, now entrusted with the message of salvation through faith. They'd been given the privilege of telling people, new believers, that their sins had been forgiven because they had accepted Jesus' mission message. Jesus gave the disciples the awesome responsibility to lead others to faith, so that by coming to know Jesus and his resurrected power, they too would be forgiven and inherit eternal life. All believers carry that same awesome responsibility. And our authority comes from God. And the power to carry out the task also comes from God, the power of the Holy Spirit. I wonder, have you ever wished you could actually see Jesus, touch him and hear his words? Are there times when you just want to sit down with him and get some solid advice? Jesus' disciple Thomas wanted that physical presence. In fairness to Thomas, so did the other disciples. It's a natural human reaction. But God is wiser. He's not limited himself to one physical body. He wants to be present with us all and at all times. And he is. He is with us through his Spirit. We can talk to him. We can find his words in the Bible. He can be as real to us as he was to Thomas. We can see him. We can know him. We can develop a relationship with him as true as any relationship with another physical person. I know this for a fact because I experience this real presence all the time. I often slip away on my own and sit down and talk with Jesus, and he speaks to me. No, it's not because I'm senile, as one young girl guide once said to me. It's because it's true. I believe that God is with us all and all the time through the power of the Spirit. We, like the Apostle Paul and countless others, have built our relationship with the resurrected Christ without seeing his physical body. Jesus told his disciples, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." You know, it's only through a deep relationship with somebody that the physical presence becomes less important. You know, I'm sure that when you truly know somebody, you know what they would do or say without them actually being there. That's why it's so important that any relationship is not merely physical, but also a sort of spiritual binding. We all know that just as those first disciples were released from their physical isolation, so we will be too. And like those first disciples, we don't know when, But remember this, we're not alone. The Lord has stepped into our lives. He has said to each and every one of us, peace be with you. Jesus is the living hope we all need. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, we know that with God all things are possible, including resurrection from death. When those first disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, they too were filled with a living hope. Yet it was really hard for them to take in. Probably harder for us as we have the benefit of seeing the whole event from the perspective of onlookers rather than participants. You know, we have seen Jesus in the risen Christ. And that same risen Christ is saying right now to each of us, peace be with you. He is our living hope for today, for tomorrow, for the future. Please, please take comfort from the living hope that is Jesus. Accept in your hearts and minds the very peace of Christ. And use this time to come to really know Jesus and his resurrection power. And remember, Jesus added, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You know, the two things are preventing the spread of the gospel. One is the growth of other religions. And the second is the lack of effort being made by Christians themselves. When Jesus gave this command to his disciples, he knew that the task he came to earth to do was an enormous one. He also knew that even his resurrection would not complete the work needed. He knew that then his disciples were facing a task unfinished. We too, today, are also facing a task unfinished. And the sooner Christians wake up to that fact, the better. My dear friends, let your faith be a witness to others so that everyone can see Jesus and receive the comfort of those beautiful words, peace be with you, and experience for themselves the living hope of the resurrected Christ. Amen. You know, we're seeing a huge increase in the number of people who are using the internet to socialise, raise money or join in celebrations, including religious ones. This isn't particularly new. Well, back on February the 21st, 2016, over 5,000 churches in 100 countries joined together to sing this next hymn. An estimated 1 million believers contributed to a global hymn sing that was sung in several languages that reminded the church to the call for global missions. And let's join now as we sing Facing a Task Unfinished.
Defy thee still today. When
By your son's unexpected, amazing resurrection, you showed his followers that suffering and even death are not the end. Be with us through him in our times of doubt and fear. Unite us through him with those whom we love. And when the darkness has gone, raise us through him to new life. Jesus stood among them and said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Receive the Holy Spirit." And so, Lord, we go in peace to do your work with the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.